Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the JT Fox Podcast Network. On this network of shows, we literally talk about everything. Interview A-list celebrities, billionaires, some of the most successful entrepreneurs in the world. Sometimes we debate the news, and sometimes, along with my CEO, we go back and forth and talk about some of the things that we're doing in our business and ideas and sort of masterminding. And today is one of them, because today is going to be part two of the podcast that I did a few days ago. Went to McLaren Racing, spent all morning there, met the CEO of F1 Racing, Zach Brown, met Lando Norris, saw how they work, how they operate. And Formula One has really gone insane in the last few years, in part because of the Netflix show, which the power of TV and the putting the brand at the forefront. And so basically I learned 11 things. Now, if you haven't listened to the first one, that's okay. Just listen to this one and then go back to the first one as well, because I learned 11 things that I know that we need to implement my business. And I think I have, you know, and so we'll talk about that in a second. And we're going to continue these discussions on every single point. I have my CEO, Francie. She runs the empire of everything I do. Also in the comments, if you'd like to do business with me, if you'd like me to coach you for free, if you'd like me to fund your deals, or you want to do some deals with me together or do business with my billionaire partners, there's a link in the comments. Everything is there as well. Because it's really why we do this podcast, right? We're not selling anything, or we don't have ads or anything like that for now. We just kind of just want to build relationships, and it's all about relational capital. So, Francie, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to jump into the
Well, you were sick when we did it, and so now people see the difference between a sick you and a non-sick you.
Well, I'm coming out of the end of being sick, but I still think I was fine on the first one.
Yeah, you were fine. Yeah, but you thought it was allergies. So if you knew you had a cold, you might have had a different perspective on.
I might be snippier, but.
So by the way, so I went to McLaren Racing about 7 days ago and 6 days ago, actually. And we did the sort of the first podcast on it live in front of a big audience. Now this is just me and you. And I have to say, though, I have come back to, before we go into some steps, the things that I talked in the first podcast, you have to admit that I have already started implementing. You know, I got a bunch of whiteboards here. Yeah,
you're like surrounded by whiteboards. You're like in
surrounded. Yeah, I got a little board here. I got a big board there.
Where you can like write with both hands on different whiteboards at the same time.
Well, I think the reason why I don't like the whole big boards, right? Because I got to stand and write and stuff. But sometimes I like to like flow out how it all works or kind of ideas. It's harder with the laptop or the phone going with your voice notes. I've been very ineffective when you're on your phone, write voice notes. I write them down and I'm like a month, like 5 months later, I'm like, oh, I wrote that down. That was good. I don't know. I didn't check it. But I think it's about the changes that we have. So I'm going to talk about this. The one that I learned that even though, so we're going to continue on this, which I think we're number 7 or 8 or whatever. It doesn't matter at this point, but
We'll just say the next point.
So at McLaren F1 Racing, I've kind of realized that even though you have gains, right, you make improvements, whether it's in a division or the car, anything you do, that the gains you make is about everyone focusing on solving that particular problem. But it also comes at the detriment of other things too, because while you're focusing on like, rather than, okay, let's solve every problem, which we can, but now I'm going to put all my attention on this problem. Other problems are not being there. So, and because even though you fix the problem, it's still not tested. So for example, I re-engineered a marketing campaign. I saw where all the problems are. I looked at everything from the headline, the positioning, the responses, the email. I rewrote the whole thing, thought the strategy, even what pictures we should use, the videos we're going to put. Very elaborate campaign to attract extremely high net worth people, which obviously I am and I do a lot of business with. But here's the thing too, even though I did it, it doesn't mean that it's going to work. Even though it makes sense to me, it looks good, it sounds good. And that's part of the problem, right? Solving the problem is not really solved until we can put the car on the test track. And that's kind of what McLaren was saying, is that we've done a lot of improvements in the car, but as we speak right now, they are now testing the car in Bahrain. So it sounds good, right? It seems like you had it, maybe in simulation and in meetings, everyone's on board, but until it's be testing, which I think testing has become a lost art because we keep jumping to the next idea, the next business, the next opportunity. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think sometimes we do your brilliance is
thank you
being all over the place and kind of coming up with a lot of ideas. But what the brilliance sometimes I think, because it's so many things, is the rest of the team. You know, you made a comment earlier today. I never realized how long it took to actually write out a campaign, because now you're actually doing it. So I think now maybe you're getting a little bit of that perspective of like, okay, when I have idea, and it takes time to do it out, but you're now on the third idea and you're like, well, why isn't it done yet? Where is it? Why isn't it actioned yet? It's because it takes time to actually flow out and implement all the pieces behind an idea. And I think sometimes because you move so quickly on to the next thing, nothing fully can get developed, changed, improved, because your ADD and lack of focus won't allow it. And it's like, I was literally coaching someone yesterday and they had all these different ideas and wanted to test these two different things. And I was like, okay, I agree with testing these two things. However, you have three different variables. So if you test these two things, you don't know which one of those variables is the one that worked. And I think that like equates to how you operate sometimes. We've got to only change one thing at a time, which takes longer to test, right? Like we're doing that right now with a call that we have later today. We're changing one variable, but this call only happens every 2 weeks. So, you know, it's not an immediate change. We've got to wait for the call to see if that one variable makes a difference. And then if it does make a difference, then we can change the next thing. And so I think it takes time to actually like get something and flesh it out and see it through to its full potential. So I think that's a big piece of it. It's okay to have a lot of ideas, but you then have to take one thing and you have to focus on that one thing until you know, okay, this is good and it's working and we can move forward with it. And I think that's sometimes, you know, what a strength, but is also a weakness, because you're always on, you're like up here and everyone's just trying to keep up with you.
Well, the question is this, we built you know, a 9-figure business and have done very well at it. The question is, would we have made more money by like super hyper focusing, obsessing on that one thing, or the strategy we did of going really horizontal rather than vertical? Would we have made more money? And I think that's a very interesting point, right? To bring up. And part of me says, obviously the way I am today is because of the way I am. But I think now that we have achieved, I think we're maxed out at a horizontal way. Like there's no more businesses. We have over 70 companies and brands all over the world. And you know, so you end up spending 5-10 minutes. Like even I have to look at something from a lawyer, right? And really it's like a 10-15 minute time. And I don't even have like the bandwidth. Like last night it was like 8:00. I'm like, I took my laptop out, let me start creating. And my brain just wouldn't function. So now I think I have to put things like, let me review that stuff later and keep the marketing. And I got up this morning at 3:30 and to do some work where it was very effective. But by the time I get to 8:00, I just don't have the juice. And maybe if I was broke and had no money, I'd push through it. But I was like, ugh, I'm just going to go to bed. And it was in bed at 8:30, right? So so I think, you know, it's interesting because I'm always going back and forth. But I think as I start maturing on this as well, the more companies we have, which means the more partners that we ultimately have, because we're not doing the work, we're putting trust in people who don't have the same philosophy, drive, work ethic, coachability, team, branding, and they're not learning like we do. Like I continue to learn. I continue to, you know, yesterday I was studying stuff on TikTok, right? And I've been studying Mr. Beast and I was just looking at thumbnails. Like that's all I was doing, just seeing what it is. Cause it was like, it's so important to do that and trying to learn these new skills. And people don't do that. They keep doing the same thing over and over and expect a different result. So next point, I think a lot of times if you're satisfied with where you're at, right? So if you say, for example, in Formula One, you have Mercedes and you have Red Bull and then you have Ferrari, right? And so you'll be like, oh, I'm not like them. I don't have the money that I have. I don't have the branding that I have. We're making money with our sponsors, right? We're making money. And so there's really, and we're profitable, So there's really no reason to go and push more, because we're probably not going to beat them. And if we do, at what cost? So let's just be satisfied. We're profitable. We've got established brand. And he goes, the minute you stop believing that you can win, right? Over time, there's a diminishing return because there's someone behind you. There are new racing teams. There are new businesses, right? That basically are going to blow past you because you got satisfied. Say, hey, I'm making money. And it's that something that I do very well, that paranoid optimist. And so we often take a look at the big dogs. And even though I'm at their level, or, you know, maybe at their level in the industry, but to the outside world, I'm not, because they spend millions and millions in advertising and they have a head start. There's one thing that we don't know is, you know, how much are they spending? Are they really profitable? Because nothing is what it seems. So what do you think about that, of this notion where people say, well, you shouldn't look at other people. You should worry about you. And if you're doing, stay in that little zone. And they're like, no, we got to keep pushing no matter what, because that's the culture of this business. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, my thoughts would be complacency kills, and complacency killed BlackBerry, Blockbuster. You know what I mean? You look at all these businesses and industries, and right, we could go on a list of, we're like, oh, I'm good where I'm at, and didn't ever look at who's coming up behind me. What is the new technology? What is the new way of doing things to be able to adapt? And then you get killed, right? Like you end up at the bottom. Somebody who's hungrier, somebody who's more driven. And so, yeah, I think you can't really sit there and be complacent. And I think it's a big thing. I actually just had a call with our team, JT, this morning. And one of the things I had said was, just because we've been doing something a certain way doesn't mean that's the way we have to continue doing it. So we need to look at, what is a new technology? What is a better way? What is a faster, more efficient way of doing something? Because there's always new technology, a new integration, a new app, a new thing that's coming out that can improve the way we do business, right? And in the racing industry, there's always a new something. There's always an adjustment that can be made. There's always a tweak that can be made to get better performance. So I think it's kind of the same thing, which is very timely, because we literally were just talking about this morning, of just because we've always done it X, Y, Z doesn't mean we can't mix it up and do, you know, ABC or MPQ or whatever it is to do it differently, because things change over time. And so you have to stay sharp, and you have to be looking at different things, and you have to be investigating what are different ways you can improve, and be aware of what is the competition doing around you. Because if you're not, one day they're just going to blow past you, and they're going to blow so far past you so quickly, you're not going to be able to catch up because you're so far behind.
So and this is another one too. So I told, you know, Zach Brown, and I think the story was, you know, you're getting all this data. There's 3,000 sensors in a car. It's trillions and trillions of terabytes and decisions. Like, do you look at it? And he goes, just the final important decisions. But he says the ability of leaders to be able to take a look at the campaign, or it's like the data of the car, and say, we should do this, 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 right? And to be able to develop a leader to take the initiative. So I'm going to give an example of the marketing campaign that I just did. And, you know, I looked at it, and when I looked at it, it didn't really make sense, you know, and we know it's working. We made money with it. So very good money. But I looked at it from, if I was the other person and it was cold traffic and I got this, what's the positioning? I'm skeptical. I don't know what it is. I've never heard of this person. So what do I need to do that? Right? How is it perceived? What is the position? So let me ask you a question. Whose job was it to take a look at that? And do we have implementers, or do we have leaders? Is that anyone could have taken? And by the way, if you just take a look at 15 minutes at the emails, now it's a difference between creating them But just looking at this in less than 15 minutes, you would have come to conclusions that I did. Now, the work was hard to change, right? Because I literally had to come up with something new and put a lot of thought into it. And I'm going to be working on it right afterwards. So let me ask you a question. You know, in our organization, who should have looked at it? And where's the, is there responsibility or that? Or did we create a culture that you and I are going to fix it?
I would say we don't have a position for someone that looks at it. Because when you look at the size of the team and the stuff that is getting, has to get done every single week, I don't think there's a, I think it's partially, right? Like that falls on you and I, because I don't think there's a, there's not bandwidth for someone to just constantly be relooking, reevaluating.
We're not talking about constantly looking. We're just basic what we had. It was very clear in less than 15 minutes. For me, it was less than 5 minutes, but to take a look at it and just say, you know, remember we did that when we had that campaign.
I would also say one of the ones you didn't get though is one of the ones that gets the biggest engagement about missing the call, which you got rid of, which I wouldn't have done that because that one has the biggest open rate. Right. Which is obviously you want people to open because that's how they're going to get the link and that's how they're going to be reminded of the call. So you effectively remove the email that had the biggest
change, but that's the thing. Once I have it, I forgot about that one. We can, change the, I think third email. I'll look at it, but maybe change that. I'll look at it and make some changes to see and add that over. Because all we got to do is just put that subject headline in and then just put it at the top. So I'll make that change. Yes. But I think also too, it's not a position. It's just when you're doing stuff every day, it's just about looking and doesn't make sense. And by the way, we have meetings every week on this as well. And so I think we're reporting, but we're not looking. Now I've taken responsibility. I have literally 48 things on my list to literally solve and go deep and we'll see what happens. And then I'll pray that we discuss the thing and sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't work. But if it works,
and like I also personally think we shouldn't have changed the whole thing at once. I think we should have changed one email at a time because
that I disagree because the show up rate is not good. So at the end of the day, because I've been working with people and they've been showing me their show up rates and the show up rate is not good. And so you said to myself, 11,000 leads, right? 11,000 leads. Mm-hmm. For a show up rate of like what, 4 or 5% or something like that?
No, it's 13.5%.
13.5, right? And so we're talking about if we just add another 5%. Now we'll know very quickly if it doesn't work out, then we'll probably turn off and then go back to the old one. But that's just too much, you know what I mean? And it's just too much. And I think there's also a lot more qualifications in this one rather than that, because I think we'll find out who is committed. You know, but that's interesting. Like I won't know until I know. And I always remember the story. You know, we had a campaign that literally probably made us like $50 million. Right. And then we need something new. And I'll never forget this. I came up with this in December and you put the campaign and you were coming to the house in Florida because we had a top 1% experience where I coach people 3 days at the house. And you came in and you showed up and I'm just like holding my breath. Right. This was the branding campaign. And I'm like holding my breath and I'm like, Is it going to work? Because if it worked, then great. You know, like we have something else. If it doesn't, we're in trouble, right? Because then, you know, we rode the other campaign like a dead horse.
Right.
And then it worked, like conversion wise, sign up rise, show up rise, but we didn't do as well as the other campaign once they got there, but it was enough to create revenue. Right. But it wasn't nearly as good, but it still created revenue and still did okay. Not crush. But that's the thing about the campaign, and it's hard because the algorithms are changing, the changes in social media are changing. People are just constantly bombarded and you just really have to obsess on those details. And so the last one that it says is that they won't do anything illegal, meaning that, you know, there's some allegations that Red Bull.
Well, hey, that's a pretty good rule to stick to in business.
Well, no, the point is, for example, like, by the way, you're seeing this right now, with whether it's true or not, Manchester City did some financial irregularities by spending more than they should. there was allegations that Red Bull did the same, and you know, that they spent 100 million plus, and it turned out to be not 100 million, but 12 million, but whatever. So he says, you know, it's not worth, so we're going to go towards the edge, but we're not going to go over the edge as well, because we have to be true to who we are. And I think we've adopted that. And it's very frustrating, because I just sent you a message. So while we were talking, so this person that I know, very well-spoken, very intelligent. In fact, I would compare him in terms of intellect, very similar to me, very similar, very good businessman. I met him. But what always has bothered me is that he buys likes. Okay. It bothers me. Right. And for some reason, because you could tell at his events, he doesn't attract the high level people, very much of a young baller kind of crowd. And, you know, with suits, you know, a bit of the salesy kind of thing. And so he made a post about an hour ago. Now, this person has over 3 million followers, right? And by the way, that's like more than Tom Brady. So, you know, so, and so what I did is he put the post in an hour, and there was 1,500 likes in 2,000. And what I did is I sent you a video screen of obviously the likes. And then I start scrolling and I start clicking, right? And it's like, I'd say about half the posts have zero posts and people don't follow us. And there is no way in hell that you have that many. And you could tell it's fake, right? And so by the time it's said and done, that post will probably have 42,000 likes, 35,000 likes, right? And 3.5. And clearly, right? And I have 106,000, right? But I have engagement, you know, but still, because of the algorithm, Facebook sees what it sees. And it just behooves me. And by the way, he's been able to fake it until he made it, and to be able to get that credibility. So everybody thinks he's this high authority, so he could attract bigger names to interview on his show, on his podcast. He'll be like, wow. Right. And if you did it with this, I'm sure you did it with YouTube. You've done it with Twitter. Like, it's clear to do that as well. And I know we had this debate many, many times that we will go to the edge, but we're not going to go over the edge, because we don't want to compromise our integrity. And it's a long game. And maybe this person in the long game ends up going long regardless, right? But it just is amazing to me, the fugaziness of it all, right? The frustrationness as well. And so do you ever wonder, because we commented about why we're not doing it, okay? Let's go over the other side. If we had done it, if we buy likes and we do all these things, that, you know, buy podcast views to make it look like, look, we have the number one podcast and everyone, and you know, I'd be able to drive it and do it as a, let me ask you a question. What would our business be different in your opinion?
I feel like we had already talked. I feel like maybe we just talk about this all the time. So I thought we had already talked about this. Under one of the other points, but maybe we didn't. We just talked about it on something else. I think it's tough, right? Like, it's a tough call to say, where would we be, or would we be in a different spot, or, you know, what would have happened if X, Y, and Z. And I think you can live in the past or look backwards. It is what it is. It's the decision we've made. It's the horse we've chosen to ride. And that's
the horse. But do you think in the world that you can say outrageous thing, you know, you say outrageous things and get away with it. You can take advantage of people. You can go to jail.
You can for a point, but at some point you can't anymore. At some point.
Yeah. So the point is, there's a musical chair goes up. And also, I think if we had pushed that envelope,
I mean, the only people that get away with it are the big banks. The big banks seem to be the ones that can get away with it, or
politicians do.
You know, get a minor slap on the wrist.
But here's the thing too.
Have you seen, this is very off topic, but have you seen the video? I think I might have saved it. If I saved it, I got to send it to you. Where it's talking about, it's a video and it says, did you know which sport am I talking about? And it says like NFL or NBA, and it lists the number of arrests, the number of DUIs, the number of sexual assault charges, the number, like all these crazy things, right? And you're sitting there and you're like, is it the NBA or is it the NFL or whatever, it's a sport. And then at the end they actually go, actually it's neither. it's the United States Congress or the House of Representatives, right? It's one of like the political, huge political representatives that have all these different things on their record. And so it's like, I do think people get to a point where they have a level of clout or power or money, but you also get to that point where at some point it wears off and it doesn't go forever. It's just like the more power, the more money, the longer I think you can ride the wave. Mm-hmm. But then the bigger the wave that does end up crashing because you have that much more eyeballs on you. And right, the more you do have on you, the bigger target you become because it's a more publicized
event.
Takedown, if you will, right? And it like, so
yeah,
no, I don't know. I think
I think you make a very good point. I mean, listen, we dealt with certain instances in the past before that were completely unfounded, and we obviously beat them, and there was nothing to it because we knew there was nothing to it. But if I was a bigger name, it would have blown up as well. And so we've happened to build an empire under the radar without that negative scrutiny, without being 100 different people doing videos and everything I do. And especially in a world where just people could say whatever, make up whatever. And people just, if someone doesn't like you, they'll believe the negativity, and something likes you, they'll say, no, it's fake news. And then there's people in the middle. And I think Trump is the guy that kind of like, by inventing the word fake news, he had built such a base that no matter what he did, he could do no wrong. Right. And then there are people that hated him, that there's nothing he could do that would make it, that would change their minds. And I think that's the world we live here today. But I will say, build an ethical business, do it the right way, do the conceptual learning now that from like we're doing with Claire now, applying it to our businesses, and we're being very transparent. These are decisions that we do, but I realize that no matter what I do, I'm always going to be the bad guy. Like it's clearly, and I think even some of the businesses right now with other partners and the drama, not between us, between others that we're stuck in the middle, was do the right thing. And it just, for some reason, I don't know if it's because of my no BS personality or straightforward. It's just, you know, I never get the credit, but then you know what? I go to bed.
JT, the right thing is not, the right thing is not usually the popular thing. And I think that is something that, you know, I think that's something you got to wrap your head around. And I think that's part of the thing. The right thing usually is not the popular thing.
And often forgotten. So by the way, so this is a sort of wrap up the McLaren. I think we should do this with other businesses because I think it was very, very useful. And I think it's probably the first time I learned a lot of lessons.
Maybe we'll do the reverse of when I go to the Space Center in a week.
Oh,
we can then do my points of what I learned from NASA.
So after doing this and I went to there, how do you think, what would you describe the overall me going there, coming back and seeing this as well? If someone say, hey, just analyze what JT went through, what would you say? And by the way, I encourage other people to do that. Please, if you could share this podcast and if you can give it a review on Apple and give it a comment and a 5-star possibly if you like it. And you can review Spotify. It's an honor system. We do this for free to entertain you to learn. And as an honor system, doing the right thing, all we ask is that you like, subscribe, and share. I know it's hard to click and stuff like that. Just it's doing the right thing, paying for it, because one day you're going to do something and you're going to want people to rally around that. And the more you do it, the more we're going to give you this great content. So go ahead, Francie.
I think one of the biggest things is I think it was good because I think it gave you some things to think about and kind of maybe gave you a new perspective, but also kind of like a surge of energy, right? Like kind of this new like, ooh, like it reignited the excitement maybe. Of like, oh, look at these things and I'm going to do this in my business and how can I implement this and how can we action that? And I think that's what the awesome part was, is it kind of gave you that re-energized perspective to kind of look within our own business and look at some of the things and maybe realign or Also just ask some of the questions of like, what are we doing? What are we not doing? What could we implement? What could we look at different? What are the things we can implement quickly? What are the things that don't make sense for us? What are the things we need to think about? And kind of getting on the same page for what are the things we are doing already that maybe you need to get more immersed in addition to like, what are new things that we can implement?
I think what I learned is that this wasn't a holiday, right? So people think, oh my God, just going to hang it out and stuff like that. And I take every opportunity like this as an opportunity to learn, as an opportunity to become better. And rather than saying, well, I'm not in Formula One racing. This is not what I do. I don't even like Formula One racing. Let's just say it's not about that. It's looking what other people do better, faster, more efficient. So that wraps up part one and two. And if you miss part one, go back to part one after listening to part two. And they're completely different on its own with both different conclusions, with a healthy Francie today, a sick Francie 3 days ago. So a different perspective, but we appreciate if you could pass it on and give us your thought. Make sure you add us on social media. Thank you so much, everybody. And we shall see you on the next podcast. Like, comment, and share would mean the world. We have a deal, an honor system. We expect you to uphold your deal.